As far as the external options are concerned, I'm going to give you names. These are all free agents. And the way we'll play this game is Pete will say, yay, nay, or I got to think about that. And I will obviously join in and do the same. Are you ready?
It's a lot of pressure, but let's do this.
No pressure at all. Third base option number one, Matt Chapman.
No.
Wow, an immediate no for one of the better defensive third basemen in baseball. Are you saying immediately no because he's going to get a big contract and you know, like I know, he will not be worth that big contract?
1,000%, dude. The guy is a great gold glove worthy. I'm not going to talk about his defense at all. He has some power, but his numbers, you know, last year's numbers actually went down, dipped as far as power numbers. And if you go through his batting average, OPS, and everything, I mean, they're nothing to write home with, especially with the contract he's going to get. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think he's a brilliant defensive third baseman. He's won the Platinum Glove numerous times, not just the Gold Glove. So, yes, I love his defense. It's weird to me that Matt Chapman's best season offensively, because when you pay a guy as much as he's probably going to get, because I think he's getting $150 million, if I had to guess, something in that neighborhood. You got to be a force offensively. You just can't be some great glove at third base. And we haven't seen the best of Matt Chapman since 2019. And that's weird to me. It's weird that 2019, he's an all-star. He puts up big numbers. He hits 36 home runs. He has an 850 OPS. He is an elite third baseman. Elite. And I would have traded for him. And I would have been all for it when the Oakland A's moved on from him. Go get me Matt Chapman. Even after 2021, when he had his first real down season, I still would have said, go out and trade for the guy. Because I would have figured it's just a down season. 864 OPS in 18, 848 OPS in 19. 2020 is fine, but it's a short season. 2021 is just a down year. Don't worry about it. And he follows it up by having a marginally better season in 2022. And then comes out last year, and you said it. And I know he was banged up. That's what I've read. He wasn't fully healthy. But I can't trust that he's just going to be the offensive force he was in 2019. If he was, I think we're having a different discussion. So even though Matt Chapman is widely considered the best of the free agent third basemen, we're actually going to agree with each other. No, thank you. You ready for option number two?
Is there another option in the free agency?
Y'all, I'm going to name 10 guys for you right now.
Okay. All right, let's go.
I know. We only think of Matt Chapman. We don't think of the other guys. But I also think it's important to realize that another thing, in my opinion at least, is I don't want to hand out some kind of long-term contract. I'd prefer to get a third baseman on a short-term deal, help me offensively, keep the flexibility, and allow more time for Brett Beatty to prove himself as the everyday third baseman. Because think about it this way. Let's say you sign a third baseman, any of the names we're talking about. I'm not burying Brett Beatty. I'm not trading Brett Beatty unless there's some kind of crazy deal I'm not thinking about. And his value hasn't been hindered too much by how much he struggled last year. Brett Beatty's still going to have a chance to play. He's still going to have a chance to be a DH. He's still going to have a chance to kind of bust his way back. So ideally, if I'm adding a third baseman, I want to add one on a short-term deal and hope that Brett Beatty just takes the job and becomes the guy. And when we get to 2025, I'm not looking to add a third baseman on a one-year deal. Do you at least agree with that philosophy?
No, I think there's better options in the trade market. I really do. I think
so. You're looking for a long term answer.
Ooh, I have a couple. Yeah, but we'll get there. We'll get to
long term answer.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
All right. Another free agent option. A guy who actually was born right here in New York City. Jamer Candelario.
I think I'm going to pass because I think he's going to get a bigger deal and I don't think he's worth that right now. But I'm thinking about him. I've not a bad candidate for sure, but if you do a short deal, yes, long deal can't.
Completely agree. I want him on a short term deal. He doesn't give me that much versatility. Like, he comes in, he's the third baseman. I know he has a little bit of experience at first base. I love the fact he's a switch hitter. I think his production last year between Washington and Chicago was solid. Guy went out and hit 22 home runs, had one of the better years of his career. I think he'd be a very solid short-term option, but I kind of agree with you. He's going to end up with a long-term deal, and I don't have a lot of interest in a long-term deal with Jamer Candelario. Former New York Met, redhead forever, Justin Turner.
No, I like Turner. It would be nice, like, reunited, feel so good, but I think that you're just asking for injury issues with him, and I think you need something that's more a little sustainable for next year. I mean, again, what are we trying to do? Let me ask you a question, because one thing we haven't really talked about, are we trying to make the playoffs or just trying to have like a decent season?
No, I'm trying to make the playoffs, but I'm also trying to short-term this thing, because I guess we disagree. I'm not ready, you know, unless there's something amazing out there, I'm not ready to say I'm looking for a long-term answer at third base. I still think there's a really good chance that answer could be of Beatty and Mauricio. But the idea of a short-term guy is it allows you that bridge until they prove they can be the everyday guy. That's at least the way I'm looking at it.
Right, no, and I get, and that's why Justin Turner fits that mold. I just don't know how much he's going to play. And I'm sorry, I have flashbacks of this current Jets season of, let's get Aaron Rodgers in for a year. We'll get Zach Wilson to, like, you know, kind of figure out the position a little bit. And Justin Turner will tear his ACL in the first week, and then it's back to Beatty and Mauricio playing third base, and then we'll be sitting here scratching our head all season long. I don't think I want to do that.
Okay, a couple things about Justin Turner. He's 39 years old, so he is old. You're right about that. But he's been very reliable health-wise. Last year for Boston, he played 146 games. And he continued to be a really productive hitter. He put up basically his career numbers. Hit 276, had an 800 OPS, drove in 96 runs, hit 23 home runs. I guess where I differ on the Turner thing, I do differ with you. I'm not signing him, projecting that he's just going to get hurt. I mean, it could happen. He is 39 years old, but he doesn't have a history of it. I think Justin Turner is so bad defensively at this point in his career, at 39, that I think if I sign him, he's going to end up DHing a lot anyway. Like, he's almost a better DH option than he is third base option. And I guess with Beatty and Mauricio, you can almost argue it's interchangeable anyway. It's just a guy who can play third base if you need him to play third base. And then, you know, based on Beatty's performance, if Beatty plays well enough, Beatty becomes the third baseman, and you're not benching Justin Turner. He's just the DH versus Brett Beatty fails. He ends up back in AAA. Okay, Justin Turner is mostly playing third base. So I think Turner could end up being a good option, but could do it also at third base and at DH and not necessarily be the answer at third base. But he continues to be a productive player. Like, I don't see any signs of Justin Turner slowing down. He is 39. It's a one-year deal, certainly a short-term kind of plan, but I wouldn't be against it, but I think he ends up DHing a lot more than third base. I got a crazy one. You ready for this one?
Give it to me.
Eduardo Escobar.
I'm gonna great clubhouse guy, but definitely not a third baseman that we're going to start with next year.
How about this one? Josh Donaldson.
The Rainmaker? No, thank you. I'll pass on that.
All right, I'm going to give you a creative one. I threw a couple of ones. I'll throw a few more that you're going to say no to. Evan Longoria.
I mean, I don't know if I say no to that one. I'd like him a little bit, but again, he's not going to play all season. He's going to play, like, you know, 80 games. It's actually, you'll get to use Beatty and Mauricio a little bit more flexibility, so it's not that they're clogging the position up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Evan Longoria is funny. Evan Longoria, even in the prime of his career, had injury problems. Not all the time. Like, he played a lot, but I think like 2011 or 2012, he missed a big chunk of time. But over the last 4 years, he doesn't play. He just hasn't played a lot, so no, he's not a good option. I'm going to give you one that I'm very intrigued by, and I don't know if the Mets are going to be connected to him, but you talk about big reward. What have I told you? There's a guy in free agency who was a top 10 MVP vote getter, is a multiple-time All-Star, and he's available in free agency and is probably going to have to take a one-year deal. You'd say, oh, I'm intrigued. Now, he's a shortstop, so he doesn't have experience playing third base or second base for that matter. But I think at this point in his career, with the year he's coming off of, he's going to have to consider a position change. And I think he probably would, because he's not going to be back with his former team. And that guy is Tim Anderson, formerly of the Chicago White Sox. I am so intrigued by somehow bringing him in here, because you can't tell me, after the career he started to zoom out with in 2019 and 2021, not as much 2022, but you can't tell me he's just fallen off a cliff and that's it, and he's terrible. Like, his numbers last year when he played were just abysmal. Is that it? Like, is Tim Anderson done? So if Tim Anderson, and I think he's going to be willing to change positions because I think he's going to have to, I would be very interested. 1 year deal, play a little second base, play a little third base, and try to recoup his value so it works out for him. And for us, we're seeing if we could kind of find the diamond in the rough with him.
Well, I mean, listen, if you present it like that, almost like a super utility guy, because you're right, in Tim Anderson's prime, he was up there for one of the best shortstops in the league, and he definitely has fallen off, which, and he's definitely has issues. I don't know how he'd fit with this organization, with these teammates and stuff like that. I'm not sure how he is these days. Was he a player-friendly teammate? I don't know, but I know the Josh Donaldson stuff. I'm very tempered on that, but if you can convince me that he could take that Luis Guillorme role. Like, now, defensively, we saw he was a good shortstop, right?
Yeah.
Solid. So, like, how are you going to sit there if I say, hey, bring in Tim Anderson, he's going to be your utility guy between third base, shortstop, and second base, and he's going to come off the bench when needed? Yeah, I mean, that kind of takes the Guillorme role and upgrades it by a ton.
Couple of other options. Brian Anderson, formerly with the Marlins for a bunch of years, last year with Milwaukee. Brian Anderson can play third base, can play the outfield. Any interest in Brian Anderson?
No.
Me neither. Gene Segura, who certainly had his moments killing the Mets, does not have a lot of experience playing third base, but again, could kind of fill that super utility role, play a lot of shortstop, play a lot of second base. Segura last year with the Marlins had just an absolutely atrocious season and missed a big chunk of time. 33 years old. Any interest in Gene Segura?
You know, it's weird. I've always been a supporter of Segura. I've always followed him. Last year, I know it wasn't great, but I could see how he could be useful with the Mets. Again, a utility guy like we're talking about. Age thing, he's not going to be stealing time from any of the young kids, put it that way. If he's bad, he's going to sit. So, I mean, that's good, but again, I don't think that's what we're looking for, right?